This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud, and it's the last one of the season. And to be honest, thank fuck, because it's just been a stressful season. It's just nuts, stress-free summer ahead. Today, we're going to catch up with Michaela now on the end of the season for the ladies, and also later on, be chatting to the three lads about Oh, what a day last week. Horrible, horrible day. Last match of the season against Bournemouth. Good afternoon, Michaela.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. Like I said, stress-free. No effort. Absolutely fucked me day up. So I'm absolutely all right. I'm going to sit back now and just relax for the summer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, a couple of games to catch up on at the end of the season. The first one was Brighton.
Yeah, so we played Brighton at home. It was the second last game of the season, but like the last home game of the season. Mm. Thankfully, we won 2-1. The game was actually end-to-end. It was a great game to watch. But the first goal was amazing. It was from Katja Snowies. The ball was played over the top to her, and it dropped down in the box, and she just smashed it into the top right corner. I think it went past about three players, and it was at a really tight angle. Like, she was right at the 6-yard box, nearly at the end line, and she smashed it. It was a great goal. And I think it was her seventh goal of the season for us. So she's doing great. And then, unfortunately, it went straight back to 1-1 just before half time. The chance came out of nowhere, to be honest. Robinson got the ball. It was kind of another ball over the top, and she just kind of dinked it over Emily Ramsey. But it was a good finish. It just was an unfortunate goal, especially just before halftime. Then, thankfully, in the 91st minute, Hannah Bennison, she did what she does best. She's just such a threat on the edge of the box. And she won the ball, and there was some lovely footwork to beat the Brighton defenders. And then she scored a rocket, which brought us the 3 points, and it was a great game to watch.
Yeah, we spoke about Hannah Bennison before, and she's really coming onto her own this season. She's just a standout player.
Yeah, and she's so young as well, which is great. Mm. She's just scoring goals left, right and centre for us, and hopefully she'll continue to do that next season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll talk about a few players leaving now in a few minutes. But went on to City. I think, now again, I'm showing my ignorance here. Did City win the league in the end, or was it Chelsea?
No, Chelsea won. City finished fourth.
Yeah. Fourth? Okay, yeah. I thought it was City chasing, but obviously someone else. So the City game, what went on there?
So obviously that was our last game of the season. We held them off quite well for a good hour, so that's a good positive. Mm. But the goal came from, unfortunately, a defensive error. Karen Holmgaard didn't track Lauren Hemp, who's an amazing player for City. I think she got player of the match that game. And she just passed the ball around the Everton defence. It was like a counter-attack. And then Bunny Shaw just passed it into the bottom left corner. It was a very simple goal, but like well executed. Yeah. And just terrible defending from Everton. The second goal, so that was 1-0 to City. The second goal to make it 2-0, Lauren Hemp. It was just an unreal goal. It was like curled in into the net. Courtney Brosnan just had no chance. It was an absolute rocket right into the top corner. She just is top class player. And then the third goal, we went 3-0 down. just embarrassing defending again. Same home guard. She couldn't clear the ball. She tried to do like a diving header. Just didn't work at all. And then Galley was kind of just jogging around in the box. Didn't try and make a challenge at all. And then it was the same. Bunny Shaw just passed it into the net again. But thankfully, eventually we got into the game. It was an easy tap in for the 3-1 goal. Lucy Hope, the ball had just flashed across the box, and she was at the back post, and she just tapped it in. It was a great ball in by Sorensen, went through the City defence, and yeah, Lucy Hope just tapped it in. So that was great to get a goal back, but I think it might have been a little bit late. And then there was another messy goal that was scored in the 94th minute. The City keeper spilled a shot, and Aurora Galley was there. She just came on as a sub, and she tapped it in to make the final score 3-2 to City. So we did well to come back, but we definitely need to work on those defensive mistakes going into next season.
Just seems to be the team of the season, like that. Just defensive errors are kind of spoiling kind of the good work.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, we have great goal scorers. It's a bit different to the men who don't have a striker, you know. We do actually have some decent goal scorers and people who can put the ball into the net. But unfortunately, just defensively, we're being brought down a lot, which is really frustrating because we do have some super defensive players, but I think sometimes they're just not on their A game and switch off for a minute and a goal will go in, and it kind of ruins the game.
Yeah, stop. Now, we spoke a little bit earlier. There's a lot of players leaving now, and good players. One, I know Izzy Christensen, she's retiring.
She's retiring. She put out a big post on all her social media platforms saying that she was moving on to something else. So you kind of assume she might be going into punditry or something,
Yeah,
but
exactly. She used to be like on Radio 5, and then she does a bit of work with BT as well, yeah, so.
yeah, I'd say she'll go on and kind of focus on that. But yeah, I could see her. She would be retiring at some stage. I didn't know it would be this season, but obviously we found out. So yeah, she'll be a big loss, especially just for like team morale and stuff. And she obviously captained the last game of the season, which was unfortunate to lose, but she did well in the game. So yeah,
Yeah.
that'll be a big loss.
There's a few others now leaving. Just go through the list.
Yeah, so Ricky Sawicki, an absolutely unbelievable player. I'm so upset that she's leaving because she's just amazing. But her contract has expired. I'm not too sure yet where she's going. I don't think she's announced it.
Okay.
But it was announced that she'll be leaving the club. So that's another player who's left. And then Leonie Meyer as well, the German player. Her contract expired. It was actually announced in March that she was leaving the club. She's going to be going and joining Hoffenheim. So she'll be gone as well, and then we have two players even who are on loan. Obviously Aggie Beaver-Jones, she's going back to Chelsea. She actually got a red card, straight red card, the third last game of the season. I
That's the one you
mentioned
said
it
it
last
was a
week.
hard tackle. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't nice at all, but she's very young and maybe a bit naive and just wasn't sure what to do. But she's gone back to Chelsea. She actually went back that day because obviously she wasn't able to play any of the rest of the games. And then an absolute massive loss, Jess Park,
Oh,
who was
stop,
on
yeah.
loan. She's going back to City. She'll be a massive miss for next season. Like a really good goal scorer and great for getting assists and everything. So that'll be a shame to
Like
miss
them
her.
players that they're like big losses, like the whole lot of them. Like they're not even squad players, they're just like starters, to be honest.
Yeah, like really key players who have an integral role with the team. It's just such a shame to lose them, but hopefully we can replace them and like get good players in rather than just whoever is available. You know, we want to scout good players and get them into the club and get them going for next season.
Yeah, okay. Fingers crossed on that. All right, then, just to finish off, there was a few awards dished out during the week.
Yeah, so the Women's Players Player of the Year was given to Natalie Bjorn.
Okay.
I'm not a massive fan of her, so I can't
Okay,
say.
you didn't vote for it
No, I did not. It was the Players Player, so all the
Okay, yeah, I
girls
know.
didn't vote. Yeah, if I could, I probably wouldn't have, but you know, it is what it is. And then the Women's Young Player of the Year was given to Jess Park, of course.
Yeah,
She's.
she's just stand out, and she's just brilliant. And like I
Yeah.
said before, she's tiny, but she just goes and runs and runs and runs.
Yeah, and she's great pace as well.
Okay, and that was it. Just on the two awards, is that it?
Yeah,
No
and then
goal this
obviously
evening
we've.
or any of that kind of.
No, I didn't see anything like that. They'll probably
Okay.
announce it later on. But we finished sixth in the league, obviously, with 9 wins, 3 draws, and 10 losses. So
Okay, yeah. 10 losses,
hopefully we'll do better next season.
yeah, 10 losses, that's like a lot, to be honest. I know it sounds shit, but it's for the high hope we had kind of even last season
Yeah.
going into this season, just never
Yeah.
materialised.
Yeah, definitely. And like obviously the teams all that are above us, that finished above us in the league, like the likes of Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal, City and Aston Villa, like they do have superb teams, and like I wouldn't really expect us to go on and go above them, but I'd always hope to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just such a shame. Like being sixth out of 12 teams, just complete average. And you wouldn't think at the start of the season seeing the team that we would have ended up there. So it is a bit of a shame, but hopefully next season we can climb back up the table.
Yeah. Again, it's just the hope that kills you.
You
start to say, see what it did to me. You start to say my high hopes, and then just never happens.
Yeah.
Okay, and Kat, listen, thanks very much for the season. I know we are kind of hit and miss, but you've been just busy winning awards and getting stuff done and being fantastic in general. Listen, again, going forward, I know you're moving off to Liverpool next year, so we'll be doing, well, we probably won't get time, but we'll try to catch up more often, not just every couple of months.
Definitely.
Then I presume you'll be going to all the matches as well, so that's on the spot report.
I hope to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, listen, Michaela, enjoy your summer. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Joe. Same to you.
All right, we'll take a break, folks, and after a break, we chat to the lads about the horrific, horrible, exciting, everything rolled into one game against Bournemouth. Talk to you in a second.
Tarkowski. Once again, it's come out to Doucouré!
In training, but his left foot, his right foot, when no one's watching, well, everybody's watching today, and he's absolutely cured one with his right foot. The bricks and mortar of this football museum are quaking. Everton 36, Leicester 34, Leeds 31. Right now, Everton survive. Staying alive! Everton! You never shone so brightly. It is a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, you will understand just what it means. Leicester City downcast. Leicester City down.
Come back, folks. And now we're going to try and decipher what happened last Sunday. It's just absolutely nuts. Not just day, nuts week. Months, everything just piling into one day. It was fucking horrible, to be honest. But we're trying to make some sense of it with the lads, Richie, Chris, and Collie. Afternoon, boys.
How are you, boys? How are things?
Hi, guys. Oh, I'm kind of relaxed now, just de-stress. It was just, I don't even know where to start, Richie. But like I said earlier, just the lead up to Sunday, like it went on for a couple of months, but it was just like an absolute roller coaster for the whole day. One minute you're thinking we're staying up, next minute we're fucked, we're going down, next minute you're back to positive. It was just crazy. Listen, the copious amounts of alcohol didn't help the situation at all, but it was just an absolute roller coaster of a day.
Yeah, it was exhausting is what it was, and I don't think it was just to the up and down kind of at that point. I think it started obviously a few days previous. Got to the airport Sunday morning, flight was delayed, and you could tell the anxiety building on fellas. There was lots of blues pacing around just looking for something to do and to try to keep busy. And I think it helped a little bit just getting there, getting up County Road, getting up around the Winslow and kind of seeing fellas in the same boat. You know, I think it really helped just to be in around the atmosphere and know, because you're just randomly standing there talking to strangers as well, what you think, you know, and it just kind of puts you at ease because, right, you're in the midst of it now. And I think that really helped me anyway, just to try to get the terms of what was going on. But yeah, a crazy day, you know, and it's really hard to put it into words because you're just on edge from start to finish. You don't know really. You're trying to stay on top of results, of other results you don't really want to know. And every attack, every time the Bournemouth cross into your half, you're fearing the worst. And it's really, really exhausting. But all in all, look, performance was, I suppose, what it was. It was disciplined. It was organised. It was what you needed. Kind of watching it back, you see a little bit more. And, you know, sometimes we were probably a little bit desperate, I thought, you know, threw ourselves to ground a couple of times looking at it back. But I thought that last 20 minutes, you know, when under the cosh, you know, we really just kind of, we just saw it out. You know, not that we had loads to defend kind of within our box, but still you worry. It just takes one thing and that would have changed everything, obviously. But it's job done, thankfully, and I don't want to even think about it for another 3 or 4 months. You know, I just need a break. I think we all deserve a good break afterwards. But a really, really strange day, you know, the emotionals, and to say that I was absolutely shattered after it is an understatement.
Yeah, I think loads of people said it, Chris. The main thing to come out today was just, well, two things. Relief being the overriding, but just being mentally and physically drained. I know I met you, we're coming out of the stadium, and I just felt like I just ran a marathon. I was absolutely knackered.
Yeah, I know we kind of said it last year, but don't ever go through that again. Like we said last week, sort of previewing the game, of course there's, you know, more sinister things you could get worried about and that, but putting all that aside and in isolation, like, what a horrible, horrible, stressful day. It was unbearable, and it felt like the accumulation of, like you said, the last months, because, I mean, I've been saying on the podcast, in January, we didn't sign a striker. I think we'd be gone by April. And with Lampard at the time, the way we were looking, we were goosed if we carried on the way we were. So, of course, ultra negative. But I suppose it's a defence mechanism now for me at this stage. Just expect the worst or anything less. But at the same time, my whole people my age, a whole generation, have seen nothing but letdowns and disappointments and anticlimaxes. So I think it's just kind of resort to type in these kind of situations. But like, as Rich touched on, I was on Richie's flight, and you know, we got up to the airport, and as he mentioned, the delay and huge crowd over, and you know, the guy, my dad was with us, my uncle. Fellas have gone home and away on the boats since the 60s, the 70s, and the look of worry on their face, it's written all over everybody's face, the anxiety, just the, you know, the people are sick, you know, it's upsetting to see, because these are the kind of people I looked at for reassurance, you know, tell me things are going to be all right, and then they're,
help me out,
you know, you see them in a big panic, and we're all just pacing around to get a closest warm bottle of beer we can just to settle the nerves, and it was horrible, you know. And look, as Rich said, once you get up, I went up to the brick and after the walk, unbelievable, you know, absolutely unbelievable. You think we're playing for 17th, you know, you'd swear it was party mode. It was like we were fighting for the league or a cup. It was absolutely unbelievable, and there's not one other club in the country, in the league, that would have a, you know, respond like that to adversity if they were in our situation. I don't believe so. Anyway, it was absolutely unbelievable, and everybody just kind of, you know, take the board and all that stuff. But as supporters, like, we're Everton, you know what I mean? What it is what we are, you know. You're Everton, I'm Everton. We the people, the club, are the heart and soul of the club, and, you know, what, you know, what an Evertonian is, hard work and loyal, passionate, you know, you can pull wool over their eyes, proud of their team, and, you know, we hate Everton more than anyone else, and we'll gladly take the piss out of ourselves, but anybody else says that in bad about Everton,
no, you can't do that,
you know, we let them have it. But it was, you know, I think it was really important, and although when the news came through of the Leicester goals, of course there was going to be a lull and a bit of anxiety, but, you know, the support never waned. Of course, it was quiet periods, but it didn't transfer onto the pitch, you know, which we were talking about before, that anxiety and that kind of negativity could brush off on the players, and it didn't, thankfully, you know. And look, just, you kind of wanted us, the way the game went as well, we were talking about before, how are we going to approach it? And I think we all kind of agreed that we should probably try and come out first 20 minutes, get ourselves ahead and ride the wave. And that would knock the stuff out of Bournemouth. But you can kind of look and back understanding, you know, the way Dyche did approach. It would probably worked out better the way it went, to be honest with you, that we scored when we did. Because if we scored too early, I think we might have just tried to, you know, just hold on to what we have and just sat back. And, you know, the crowd mightn't have reacted the way they did because we were desperate for that goal. And when Doucouré scored, that moment and probably the 10 minutes preceding that was the most unbelievable noise I think I've ever experienced. It was absolutely incredible. And even watching it back on the telly, it didn't do it any justice at all. the whole stadium absolutely bouncing. It was absolutely incredible. You know, and it's sad that these are kind of things, moments like that will stick with me. And ultimately, it's just a goal that kept us up. We should be, you know, striving for the other side of the coin, you know, semi-finals, finals, and all that kind of thing, getting into Europe. But as you said, it was just complete and utter relief. And, you know, I'm just glad it's over. And we'll talk later on going forward. But I don't think it'll come to this next season. I'm fairly confident that things will be a little bit better next season. But, you know, when things look bad, we got the job done. And fair play to the players in that environment. Despite it not being a pretty game, and you know, our backs were against the wall. No full-backs, no strength centre-forward. And we won by hook or crook. You know, quality lacking, but the heart was there. The effort was there till the 100th minute, 101st minute. And although they're responsible for getting us in that situation, fair play to them. They did stand up. Those last four games, after that Newcastle game, I thought we were goosed. And we got 8 points from our last four, you know. So, you know, credit to them and credit to Dyche. So, yeah, you know, no Everton now for another 69 days or so. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm sitting around to tell you on the 15th when the fixtures come out with a pen and paper and Ryanair that boat. Yeah. We like to say no Everton for a few months, but we're lying to ourselves. So just, Collie, I know Chris said there, but the atmosphere was just just pockets of it. It was just unreal. The just the noise. I tried to watch it back a few times, and it didn't really come across as much on TV. I don't know whether the microphones or what was going on, but it just didn't come across on TV. But Gary Neville was on the commentary for Sky, and he said he's never ever felt an atmosphere like it in his life at any game. And this lad's won cup finals, league titles, European Cups. So to say that, he felt it. Just from your point of view, what was it like? Did it come across?
Yeah, it didn't, Joe, purely from the point of view that, okay, you heard the fans and you heard the singing, but it was the commentators that were referencing that all the time and how good the atmosphere was in the ground. And look, if Chris has literally just received a 100% in his Everton test there, because he's described what an Evertonian is from A to Z, hardworking, passionate. You know, that's what we're about, Joe. You know, you guys are lucky enough to have a season ticket. I haven't been over it in a long time, but we're all the same. You know, the kind of way I support Everton for wherever I am in the world. You know, the kind of way. And there's people in America, and you've seen it online, and you know, just the relief, the sheer relief, Joe, you know. And the lads have already touched off this. This has to never, ever happen again to our club. And whatever needs to be done, needs to be done. But we cannot go through this again, because it was just exhausting. And the two boys have already said it, Joe. I genuinely thought on the 1st of February, you know, could we ever survive? Chris rightly said after the Newcastle games, said, nah, that's it, we're gone. So credit to Dyche. I put up a thing on the Facebook page, Irish Toffees about Dyche. And, you know, I do think he has his issues, particularly in in-game management. I think he needs to improve, or certainly needs to look at that area of the game, of his game. But I think he's done very well for us, you know. And again, Chris touched off as well. These players have to be given credit, because the players stood up. And Chris said in the last four games, he's bang on. The last four games, these players stood up. And many times, Joe, have you or I, or the other two boys said, all we're looking for is to leave everything out on the pitch. Don't walk off that pitch and still be able to go for a run. And them players didn't do that, Joe. You know, my personal man of match on Sunday was Garner.
Unbelievable.
I think that chap, and I have a very good, my best mate is a United supporter, and he's still saying to me, what, nearly a year on, still don't know how we were able to sell him to us. You know, this chap had massive attention in United. He went to Forest, the wonders of Forest on loan, came back to United, and then we got him. I just think we have a very, very special player on our hands if we can treat him right, let's say. But me going off on the tangent again. You know, you see videos on Twitter of you know, the walk and pre-game, post-game, in-game, you know, the kind of way. And it's just, yeah, I was bad enough here, Joe, watching it on telly. I don't know whether I would have been able to handle it at Goodison. And then my missus comes in on the 85th minute, starts watching it with me. And she starts asking me, what does offside mean? And God, he's good looking. And you're going into 10 minutes of added on time and saying, will you ever go? And, you know, so the bars was nearly on the car. They don't understand, Joe, you know, the kind of way. But yeah, I genuinely hope for my sake, and particularly for you guys, because you have been, like, the 3 years have gone off so many times this year, that next year we have some resemblance of, let's say, forward thinking by the club, and we never ever end up in the same position.
We were talking about it afterwards. I just take 2 or 3 years of 14th or 15th, no stress, no messing around with it. Oh, if only. We'll kind of pick a little bits out of the game, Rich. First one, actually, I thought, now, looking at it myself, because it's right in front of us, it didn't look like a penalty on the Marty Gray. The one where, now, he went down a couple of times. He went down too easy a few times. But the one where your man came in and kicked the bottom of his foot. And then, like I said, when we come back, we look back at highlights and stuff. And Peter Walton, one of these in-studio refs. And he said for him it was a penalty all day long.
Yeah, and I would agree. I suppose, anytime someone kind of hit the deck, I was shouting for everything on the day. You go down, and it's well, you know, unless you're right in front of it, you don't really see. So it was only kind of during the week. And the first one, I guess, is the one that I thought was more of a penalty, where I think it turned out that Gray kind of kicked into the back of him, similar to Coleman against Forrest, I think. And that's why that wasn't given. But I would totally agree. The second one, that he was kicked and he had kind of got the first touch on it. And it didn't even look like it was checked afterwards, which was strange. You know, that they kind of brushed off it. And I rewatched it back on Sky, and Neville said, oh, yeah, it looks like you've got a kick. And it just kind of moved on, you know, that it didn't really stop to say that it had been checked. But yeah, I mean, it the way it kind of looking back at it, it looked like there was nothing soft going to be given. You know, it was kind of just let it go unless it's clear and obvious, you know, he's not going to be kind of pulling anything. But then I suppose if it was obvious that we were kind of throwing ourselves to ground a little bit too easy. On occasions, you're kind of setting a bit of a precedent and you're probably going to be looking for it. So whether we were kind of at fault ourselves, but that's not the rules of it either, you know? So just one of those things, you know, we don't get a whole pile going our way anyway. And it was just another one. But yeah, a penalty would have made things a little bit easier just to kind of hopefully get our noses in front and something to hold on to, but wasn't to be. But to be fair, it seemed that we were getting into the right positions, you know, that we were getting into the box and getting bodies in there. You know, I think Gray's positioning, it shows he's not a centre forward, you know, he's not attacking the penalty spot, and he's kind of pulling towards the edge where you want him kind of attacking the penalty spot in the 6-yard box. But, you know, just looking at it then and thinking again, 13 shots, 6 or 7 on target, that for a team that are really, I don't know, do we end up the lowest goal scorers in the league, that we have improved in that aspect without, you know, without adding players. So, you know, it's easy to say that the coaching is kind of is going somewhere, and you just hope by adding a couple of bodies in the summer in the right positions that we can kind of fill those gaps and that it won't be such a miss next season.
Yeah, I think the creation of chances has improved, but just the taking them, that's the thing that's letting us down. Hence, like, we need a centre forward or fit striker. Just another one on Gray, that header he had, Chris. Oh, Jesus. Just push your head through it. Like, he kind of fluffed at it. It brushed off his head rather than him. Like, I think he was afraid actually of getting a kick in the head or a clatter from the other player. But just push your head through it, man, and put it in the net.
I mean, that's the issue we've had all season. We don't have that clinical, ruthless kind of goal scorer, you know. If Dom had been playing, say, 30 games, he probably would have got 11, 12 goals, we would have finished mid-table. So you're relying on your Decore to step up. And to be fair, he did. McNeil has stepped up. like we've covered Gray time and time again. He cost $1.5 million for a reason. You know, he'd get a rocket twice a season, and then he just run the ball out of play for every other game. You know, that's why Dyche doesn't like him, I guess. But it was the right decision to start him because it was too big a game for Sims. You know, he's a bit of a cart horse, I think, and Maupay just, you know, hopefully he's sold. But it was the right decision. But yeah, look, he should have put it away. But we had some good little chances as well. Like, Idrissa Gueye probably should have done better with the one in the first half. And the one from Garner was a great effort as well.
The
keeper done very well, so it was a good effort. But like you said, we are creating a bit, and it's just everything is still a bit square pegs and round holes. We're still a bit dysfunctional, you know. We could be a bit more fluid, and like you said, just hopefully we get the recruitment right this summer and we get some proper cutting-edge quality in that final third, because we do knock the ball around quite well at times, you know, side to side, and we can play through the middle. And it's just once we get in and around that box, the final ball or the final cross, or even when the ball in is, you know, like you said, it's Gray is making the wrong runs. We're not on the same wavelength in that final third. At least with Dom there, I guess you kind of know the areas he's going to get into and where to put the ball, and the just chances of him being on the end of it. And you know, he's going to keep occupied a couple of centre backs and create space for other players and something to play off. So, but again, that's another question in itself. With Calvert-Lewin, you know, you can't make the assumption this year that he's going to be fit, because based on the last 2 years, I don't know where he goes from here personally. Whether he comes through full pre-season unscathed, and you know, who knows? That would be the plan, obviously. But we definitely need to recruit, and, you know, we need a good right winger. Wobey's done well, to be fair to him, in that area, generally speaking, you know. But I think he was more influential in the middle areas. He can probably create a lot more. His crossing isn't great. So we need a proper good right winger with a bit of pace that can contribute with goals and assists. We definitely need another, at least one other centre forward. McNeil is probably going to be between him and Gray for that left wing position. I like Jimmy Garner, as Colly rightly said. I thought he's really grown into his own the last couple of games. You can see that run in the team. He's got his confidence is building. He feels part of it. And I thought at times when senior players last Sunday were just clearing the ball and heading it and kicking it away aimlessly, he was the one taking the ball down and showing a bit of composure and, you know, slowing things down and dictating, and, you know, testament to the guy. He's very good composure for a young lad, and he's going to only really get better. So I think he should be definitely in our midfield next year. Question mark is over Onana, and I think we forget Onana's 21, you know. He played, I think he had 8 starts for Lille before he came to us, and he's had to really be a starter when he probably needs time to adapt and, you know, build up. It takes a bit of time to adapt to the English league, no matter who you are. So, but hopefully, you know, that experience he's had, that's going to stand to him. And I do hope he stays. He seems to enjoy it and that. And I think used correctly with better players around them as well, I think he could be very influential for us. But we definitely do kind of need that number 10, that bit of creativity, whether Garner will be it or someone else, just to link the play in the midfield, because we don't really have enough of that. Yeah, the defence, again, speaks for itself. I think we need a right back, we need a left back, we need a centre back, at least. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how we go forward. But again, at least, look, we're in the league, which is going to give us a better standing point. Imagine the players we would have been trying to sign if we were in the Championship. Yeah. It would have been catastrophic, you know. It would have been very hard coming to terms with it. And then you're still hearing players linked like Ryan Kent and Morelos off Rangers. Would you get in the bin?
I think that's where we are, because we haven't got a pot to piss in, to be honest. But yeah, that's for next season. Jesus Christ. I'm getting stressed about next season already. listen, we talk about the goal, Colly. It was just like a rocket. Kind of a hopeful ball in by Garner, and Onana kind of got ahead of the defender, missed the ball, came back, and just it was like obviously it was down the other end, but we're in the Gladys Street. It's like everything went into slow motion. Everything just started to freeze. Even when he hit the ball, it was just But when it hit the back of the net, like we spoke about earlier, atmosphere and stuff, I've never, genuinely, I'm going to Goodison since 1977, I've genuinely never heard a noise like that in my whole life. It was deafening. It was just nuts. And like that, like people are running around. Like when a goal goes in, of course, you high five the lads beside you. I was like 4 rows up and hugging lads that I've never seen, and you're going down. It's hard to explain it, but it was just like mayhem. But I'm going off here.
You're seeing grown men in tears and all.
It's nuts. It's like there's three lads sitting in front of us, three alphas. And the three of them, after we're all hugging each other, but when it kind of subsided a little bit, the three of them turned around and the three of them were bawling like little kids. And it was just, like Collier spoke about before, about it affects different people in different ways, but there's kids crying, there's old men crying. It was just, I tried to put it into words, but it's hard to explain it. It's just that outpouring of emotion mixed with relief as well. I mean, Jesus Christ, like when Leicester went 1-0 up, it was just ridiculous. People saying, oh, this is it. But that was only for a couple of minutes. Then the noise started again, the singing started again. But again, I'm going up in tangents here all over the place. But getting back to you, Colley, the goal itself, I mean, the Corey said afterwards, he never hit a better strike in his life. It was just on the money.
Joe, you know, this is from a player who, look, don't get me wrong, he was being put out of the club in January by Lampard, and fair play to him when he came back, and he's done excellent since Dyche has come in. But unfortunately, as much as Decore gives us, this chap can't pass from A to B. His passing range is horrific. So when I seen the ball drop to him, I said, nah, this lad, this would be a no X type of thing, you know? But I'm sure you have watched it back and you've seen it. It was like a bullet, Joe.
Oh.
It was like a bullet. And, you know, if you're a manager of a kids team and you're showing your kids how to strike a ball, you just look at his concentration. He wasn't going to let anything get in his way of striking that ball. And he struck it so sweetly. And, look, he will be always remembered in years to come as the man that saved everything, you know? Mm. And we've had one or two down through the years. So, yeah, he deserves that accolade because he's done brilliant since Dyche has come in. I know he got a three-match ban, and I'm sure, you know, in time he'll look back at that and regret his actions against Harry Kane. But, you know, for a guy that can't pass from here to there, to hit a ball so sweetly unbelievable, Joe. Unbelievable. And deserves all the accolades, as I said, that it came to him and will come to him over the years.
Yeah, I think it proves like how much we missed him, Rich, because that three games he was out, like we struggled. We didn't have that. Collie always says about Collie's, it's like his passing is him and Iwobi. The passing is just horrific. But he's a box to box player that we miss when he's not in the team.
Yeah, I think it's even, obviously, yeah, he brings a massive energy, but I think what he's brought to us is goals as well, and not just Sunday. I mean, was it five that he's got, and then four or five assists as well, like since he's come back in since Dyche, which is, you know, for a team that's struggling to score, struggle to assist, like, I mean, he's played a massive, massive part in the whole thing, and he was a big miss during those games because there were games that we thought, you know, especially that Fulham game, I think he was a massive miss. I know we were missing more that day as well. But yeah, I mean, and there's no way if you'd have said on whatever day the Dyche came in that he was going to be such a big part, because we all had him kind of said, oh yeah, you know what, he's gone and he's going to down tools and whatever. But no, I mean, fair play. And as Collie said, like the technique, you know, you're watching him and he's sizing it. But even the way he dropped into the pocket just as the ball was coming in, he picked the space, he found that space and he had his angles right, you know, because if he's caught, obviously, it may not fall properly to him, but he was in the right place. And it was, you know, on the money, like, you know, and it was one of those days as well. Mark Travers was after pulling a performance out of this, you know, where did it come from? You know, the saves that he was pulling off, similar to your man from Leicester. And you just said, not just, you know, there just was no chance with it. Like, it just whizzed past. And even on Sky, said, oh, it took a bit of a deflection. There was no deflection. It was just, I don't think so, right? I think it was just poor power and a little bit of swerve. But it was as sweet as you get. And what a way to do it. You know, you think back of Farrelly, Barry Horn, and all these kind of strikes that are kind of spoken about. And it's right up there with him to keep us safe, thankfully.
There's a great video Everton bring out every few weeks, and it's goals from all angles. And I watched that, and like, it shows it probably about 20 times, but every time we look at it, like Collie says, buying the ball, nothing else was in his mind except meeting that ball as sweet as he could. And it was, Chris, it was just... And it went... The video, sorry, the YouTube video from all angles, there's no commentary. And you can just hear the wallop he hits the ball, the noise of him just smacking that ball as sweet as anything.
He's a mad hitter at the car, right? I can't work him out at all. Isn't he? Like, it's an absolute peach like that. And then about 3 or 4 minutes later, when the ball was passed, we let it roll under his foot. It's like, why are you like this? Can you not just do that all the time? The one he gets against Brighton. You're like, the last person you want on the end of that is him. And he just hits an app. Just give him everything on the volley. Just don't pass to him. Just give it to him on the volley.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's the frustration with these players. You know, the majority, they have it in their locker. They're capable of doing these things. I'm sure they're doing it every day in training. And it just doesn't translate onto the pitch. We just... consistently we just don't do it, you know. And again, that separates very good players from, you know, average players, I guess. But, you know, like you said, he missed those 3 games. I think he brings something that we don't have. He, like, even just in terms of our shape and attacking and defending, he can cover the ground so quick, you know, with his late arrivals in the box. But he has the energy to press to the front, you know what I mean? And he can get back into position then if play goes elsewhere or it's switched, or he can shift defensively, you know, he can cover that ground. He has legs, you know, and it's great to see him getting a bit further forward now and starting to contribute, because as we said with our centre forward options, we've needed goals, and fair play, you know, to him, McNeil, even the defensive lads have pinged in a few goals, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been badly needed. But yeah, look, he deserves his contract extension alone for that goal. You know, that's a priceless goal. I mean, that's a life-changing goal for us as supporters. How differently things could have been if that went the other way.
Oh,
and even the players celebrating. You see the outpouring of emotion from the players, you know, the core of the emotion. But it looked to me like a Iwobi was actually crying. I don't know if you've noticed it, you know. Yeah. His eyes were watered and his head was, you know, he had his head hidden away for a couple of seconds while he got his shit together. And then Gana Gay is literally just standing there and just, you know what I mean, just looking at everything.
He's just taking it all in. The lads are gone, man. He's just standing there taking it all in. It's just class. Just
someone said he must have saw a rainbow flag in the crowd.
Oh, Jesus. I just want to give a quick mention to Pickford, Collie. I know he's been brilliant all season, but when he subsided or came out afterwards that he dislocated his finger, I thought it was worse than that, because the way he was holding, I thought his arm was broken, actually, the way he was holding it. But dislocated his finger, caught your man over, just pop it back in there and I carry on. But like, that's saving injury time. People saying, oh, it was a nice high for him and he should have saved it. Lads, it's 94th minute. If that goes in, we're relegated. So, to put it into context, it was a good save. To get a hand after, like I said, after everything rolled into one, 94th minute on the brink of going down, dislocated finger, just to get it out of there and to safety. What a touch.
Just before I actually answer that, Joe, there is something I'd like to say. Must be hundreds of Everton podcasts done throughout the world, right? And I bet you no other podcast will refer to Zakaria as a mad hero. So I think that's the statement of the season for the two of the pool. And I think that's what this episode should be called.
We'll have to get a flag, mate. the Corey
was professional about us last. We're just four lads just calling it how it is.
Correct.
Corey, the mad hero. I love that. Now going back to Jordan Lee Pickford. What can you say? Not just obviously Sunday Joe, but down through the last season and this season. And, you know, Chris has already mentioned about players' reactions after the match. And he was interviewed after the match. And similar to Cody, this can't happen again, you know. The chap is rightfully England's number one. I thought he wouldn't have been able to carry on, actually, after that issue with the finger, you know. And fair play, I wouldn't say it was sore. Oh, sorry, I wouldn't say it wasn't sore even after he got treatment on it. But, you know, he fought through the pain, I'm sure, or some discomfort and pulled off the save. And you're dead right, Joe. Regardless whether it was a nice height, he had to save it. It had to be saved, you know. Mm-hmm. And it came through a few bodies as well. So I'm sure he's seen a late. It may have been a nice height for him, fair enough. But he was still able to manage to get it away enough, you know. Pickford's been a real hero down through the seasons for me. Okay, every keeper will have their mistakes in them, but I've constantly said as well, Joe, excuse me, I think Alan Kelly has a massive
big time
credit to take as well. I think Alan Kelly has, not just with Pickford, just you see videos popping up from time to time of his work with keepers, you know, down and the young keepers as well. And I know we're losing Lonergan, never came in, but he was an experienced pro. Begovic has yet to sign another contract. But Pickford's been amazing, Joe. Absolutely amazing. And I really hope going forward we can retain him. I have a feeling we may get a big bid for him this summer, which we possibly won't be able to turn down. But Jordan Lee Pickford, for me, has been immense for everything and will always be regarded as one of our best keepers just behind Souto.
Joe, Pickford done what Thomas Muir should have done in 98. Get it around the post. Don't try and catch it.
Hollywood save, yeah. The head of Dublin, exactly. Right, well, we come near the end now. Just go around the block now. Player of the season, Rich.
Yeah, I think we just spoke about him. I think... you know, on the balance of the season as a whole, I suppose it's more consistency across everything. You know, first half of the season, there wasn't too many who stood out for me. There was times, I suppose, when Coleman stood up, you know, latter half of the season, thought Dwight McNeil really improved. Tarkowski was, I suppose, an ever-present all season. But Pickford, for me, is the only person who was really kind of capable of taking player of the year.
Chris?
When you go through the team, Joe, I mean, the issue is, you know, as Rich rightly said there, the likes of McNeil and Decore, the last 10, 12 games, they've really come into their own. But, I mean, if you're talking over the course of 38 games, no one really stands out to me other than Pickford. Mm. You know, he's saved us multiple times in many, many games, even going back to last season as well. He's developed into quite a leader as well. And, you know, we can talk about moments. Doesn't say if that penalty against Leicester were gone.
Correct.
It would have to be Pickford for me. And by all accounts, he seems actually content, by according to reports, and he wants to stay and he's happy. So it's up to, you know, Everton now as a club to, you know, keep these players happy, show them, yeah, listen, we're in an upward trajectory. We've had a poxy couple of years. Give these fellas reason to stick around, like we didn't do with the likes of Lukaku or John Stones or any of these half-decent players we have that moved on because we just couldn't, you know, get to where they wanted to be. So, yeah, Pickford for me, Joe.
Yeah. I'll ask you, Colly, but I don't think there's any point there. I think we know the answer already. For you, Con?
Yeah, look, can't disagree what the two boys have said. I do want to mention Tarkowski, though, Joe. He played every minute.
Yeah.
Every minute of the league, and for us to have a centre half who actually played every game is very, very unusual. So, Pickford would be the main choice, but you got to give kudos to Tarkowski. He's played every game for us every minute, and you know he looks a good defender. He's a leader, but I think Pickford's just edged him. Let's say,
yeah, I think Pickford for me as well. But again, I mentioned to Tarkowski, I think he's been just that. That solidness we need at the back.
It's good and solid when he came in and shoved Solanke out of it after he
there, yeah. When he went in to Pickford, yeah. get up yard. And then obviously Yardy Mayne has gone. I thought he was doing, I was actually looking at that because it was right in front of me. I thought he was doing a Suarez. I thought he was having a bite of him. I was like, Jesus, Yardy, what are you doing? But, oh, stop. Yeah, but picked off me. But again, honourable mention of Tarkovsky. Also, to McNeil and DeCorey, because these lads were frozen out under Lampard and just weren't getting a look in. But to come in over the last few months and literally drag us out, like McNeil, I think that game against Brighton away was just what we know he can do. But it's getting that, listen, this word we always use, consistency. He just needs to do it over a prolonged period. But yeah, Pickford, he's matured so much in the last couple of seasons. And like we spoke about this before, that he's been a therapist and spoken with a therapist, and Colly rightly mentions Alan Kelly. So, and then his own maturity getting together. So he's just, and he's captain now. So I think Seamus will probably be fading off into this himself. So I think he's going to be our captain, and he carries it well, to be honest. He doesn't let him down. So yeah, Pickard for me, player of the season. Okay, boys, that's Jesus.
I'm going to finish on a positive, Joe. Right?
Oh, that's so first on it, Jesus. First part, Chris. Positive, Chris. This is your new nickname.
We eventually got home. Second flight delayed an hour coming home as usual. Landed back about midnight in a jocker, like you said. So it's walking up, you know, the Ryanair pier from Ballymun to the passport check.
Yeah.
We get beat every week and we have to make that mile long journey. Anyway, I was walking up with a good pal of ours who listens, Peter. Real emotional talk just about Everton in general, and he texts me on Monday morning. He said, "What a day, great to spend it with you." So my text back to him was, "It's an absolute privilege to be part of our Everton family and share this roller coaster with you and all the other lads. What a unique group of people and an incredible fan base. It's the people that make Everton. I'm Everton, you're Everton. It's who we are. It's how we conduct ourselves, what we stand for as people, our values, our passion, our honesty, our hard work, and our unwavering loyalty. And one day, we'll have our day in the sun. When an Everton captain lifts some silverware above his head once more, and all generations of our Blues will celebrate that moment of euphoria together, and every struggle and battle we've gone through together will be worth it."
It's what we feel as a fan base, and I know we've had our Jesus not up and down, it's absolute roller coaster during the year, but I just wouldn't change a minute of it, lads. I really wouldn't. And I know I said at the start of Sunday was an absolutely horrible day. It was horrific. But I just wouldn't change an absolute minute of it. The crack we have, and everything is just let down when the football starts. I know it sounds ridiculous, but again, you're right, Chris. It's just family. I'm on the verge of tears here now, but it's ridiculous that the club and players that come and go and put us through this shit every single year, but we just keep coming back, and I won't stop.
No, see, this is
paper already for next season. It's just yourself up and go again. So on that tearful note, lads, thank you so much for the share. It's been fucking, like I said, an absolute roller coaster, but we'll just do it all again next year.
That's a wrap.
Thanks very much, lads.
And looking forward to it.
that's a bit strong. That is a bit strong. listen, I want to thank you, lads, for a start. I want to thank Michaela. No, she's been very, very busy this year. So much going on behind the scenes with college, and she's captain of a football team. Loads of stuff going on. Thank her so much for her updates. And thanks very much to everyone who listens in. Like Chris said there, we're not professional. We're just four lads who meet once or twice a week and just give our feelings. Might be PC at times, but be honest, we don't really give a shit. I think it's testament that people keep listening in. So I just want to thank everyone and all the messages and everything that's been sent over the season. Listen, Blues, enjoy your summer. fuck Kevin for about 3 or 4 weeks, and we see us all again in August. See you, boys. Take care.
All the best.
Lads. Take care, lads.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the Toffees.